We want to come to the first church this morning, or better said, to the first golden lampstand. So we need to see that the church is not just a coming together of saints, but much more, it is a golden lampstand. Let's read the epistle to the church in Ephesus. Revelation 2, 1 through 7.
Christian, wollt ihr es bei euch mal lesen mit Manu und denen, die bei euch sind? Ich sehe nicht alle.
Alle sieben Verse, ja?
Ja, genau, lest mal alles vor.
So let's read Revelation 2, 1 to 7. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Herr.
Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord. These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Yeah, let us hear what the Lord has to say to the golden lampstand in Ephesus. First, the Lord says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. The church in Ephesus had so many wonderful works, works upon works, even labor and patience.
Selbst die Bösen konnten sie nicht ertragen.
They could not bear those who are evil.
Sie haben geprüft.
They tested.
Sie haben Lügner bloßgestellt.
They exposed liars.
Sogar Ausdauer haben sie.
They had perseverance.
Sie haben um des Namens des Herrn
and patience.
Nicht nur ein bisschen
gelebt, and they labored for his name's sake, not just a little bit, but a lot. And they did not become weary.
Und
and in verse 6, it also says that they hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. The church in Ephesus had many wonderful works, and they weren't just any works, but surely they gave their best to please God. They got good grades from the Lord everywhere. For the work that they did, they got an A. And for their labor as well. They couldn't bear those who are evil. Also an A. And they also exposed apostles. They labored. They did not become weary. I counted there are 10 works that the Lord lists here. And in all 10 works, they were
hatte.
They were on the top. They were. They got the best grade from the Lord. The best grade that you could receive.
Wow, nicht schlecht.
Wow, not bad.
Hätte ich in der Schule auch gern gehabt.
I would have loved to have such a report card in school with all A's. Rainer, have you had such a report card? So, sport A, German A, and math A, and English A, and art A. Have you gotten the top grades all over in every subject? But in verse 4, it says, Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Everywhere they got an A. But in their love to the Lord, they failed. And because they failed in this matter, in their first love, then this lampstand was not worth anything anymore, and he removed the lampstand. And we would say, is that righteous? Is that fair? He had 10 A's, and then in just one aspect, the church failed, and for that, the lampstand is taken away. Is that justified? Yes. Because the love of the Lord is the central element. If this is missing, nothing else matters. A few weeks ago, a student sent me an email at work and wrote to me, I have a really big problem. And he sent me a very desperate email. And this also went all the way to my boss. And what did he write here? I want to become a teacher. And I'm almost done. I'm almost done with my master's studies. I'm shortly before graduation. And I really took all the courses that I needed to take. And I passed all my classes. And I did everything right until this point. Everything is there. I don't know if he got an A in every course, but he passed every course and he did everything well. But then he wrote, but in your course, I failed. And not just once, but two times. And I'm about to be kicked out.
And
he's married and with kids. And he said, I am about to have to just throw away my whole studies because of one class. I studied for 2 years for my master's. And I'm at the end. And now I have failed twice at your course. This didn't leave me without any sense inwardly. It didn't leave me indifferent. He passed everything except for this course. And this almost brought him to lose his entire studies. Thank God I was able to help him. But what about with us? We have so many things, so many good deeds. But if this element of love is missing, then we have failed the entire course and nothing else matters. This is astonishing. Even if it's already been 2 years, like with the student, or if it's been 20 years, the lampstand will be removed if the first love is not there. Oh Lord. Let's read 1 Corinthians 13. Paul says the same thing here. Starting from verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, that's not bad. Many people will like to speak in tongues, would like to. The tongues of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, prophecy is even better than speaking in tongues, but even the gift of prophecy, and if I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, don't you think this would already be a gigantic accomplishment if we understood all knowledge? And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, has any one of you already been able to remove a mountain? Matthias, how many mountains have you removed where you live? We visited you a while ago. There are many mountains there. Mountains right in front of your doorstep. Have you tried to remove them? They're still there, right? But even if you could remove mountains and have the top grade in this, and even if you have this and could do this, everyone would marvel and say, wow, this brother has such a faith. Everyone would say this, but the Lord would say, this is not profitable if you don't have love. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, or to boast, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So I am nothing. That's what it says in verse 2. It says, I am nothing. And in verse 3, it says, it profits me nothing. It's astonishing to see how much weight he puts on love, on the inward relationship of the believers with the bridegroom. If we're missing this love, and in every other aspect have the top grade, but if we're missing this love and we fail in this matter, we are nothing. We're not just a little, we are nothing. Oh Lord. And here the love of God is described. I have to ask myself, where can I get this love to the Lord? Do you think it's in the world around us? Is there such a love in this world? In this world, there's no love. I was reading in 2 Timothy 3, starting from verse 1. Because it's really applicable to the times in which we're living today. 2 Timothy 3, 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come.
In den letzten Tagen. Leben wir nicht heute in den letzten Tagen? Wir wissen alle, dass der Herr bald kommt. Und in dieser Zeit leben wir heute. Und wie sind diese schweren Tage charakterisiert? Was sind die Eigenschaften? Vers 2 heißt, die Menschen werden selbstliebend sein. Der erste Punkt, den der Herr erwähnt, hat mit der Liebe zu tun. Aber nicht mit der Liebe zu Gott, unserem Vater, und zu Christus, sondern hier ist es die Selbstliebe. Und der zweite hat auch mit Liebe zu tun, Geldliebe. So wichtig ist die Liebe. Aber in der Welt sehen wir nur das, Selbstliebe, Geldliebe und so weiter. Und dann in Vers 3 am Anfang, lieblos, empfindungslos. Es gibt keine Liebe in dieser Welt. Und am Ende von Vers 3, das Gute nicht liebend. Und in Vers 4, mehr das Vergnügen liebend als Gott. Wow, in diesen paar Versen, wie viel hat Paulus von der Liebe geredet? Natürlich nicht die Liebe, über die wir gerade hier sprechen, sondern was wir in der Welt heute sehen. Das Gute nicht liebend. Meint ihr, heute in der Welt gibt es so viele Menschen, die das Gute lieben? die so voller Liebe und Empfindung sind für uns? Unsere Regierung zum Beispiel, die Obrigkeiten in dieser Welt?
In this world, if we look at the governments, do we see this love?
Lieben sie das Gute?
Do they love good?
Sie uns allen wohltun möchten?
So that they would
beschützen möchten?
Do things to protect our health and do everything so that we would have a good life? Are they really such lovers of good? Paul shows us they are unloving because we're living in the last days.
Selbst wenn sie sich gut heißen und sagen, guck mal,
even if they call themselves good and say, look how much we're caring for you and how much I love you and that we give you so many limitations and measures to keep in this time. This is for your good and for your protection. That's what they say. Recently, I read a verse in Luke in chapter 22. The Lord says something about our governments. In Luke 22:25, and he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. Is that not what it's like today? Outwardly speaking, they think, wow, they're benefactors. They just want to do good for us. But the Lord says that they are actually exercising authority over them, or lordship, or in German it says even violence, power. These are other things that they're actually doing. That's their real motive. And we're living in this world today, surrounded by such conditions. It's full of lawlessness and unrighteousness. Don't you think that this environment has no influence on our love to the Lord?
In Matthäus 24,
in Matthew 24, it says, in verse 12, Matthew 24:12, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Around us, there is so much lawlessness, unrighteousness. We observe this in the world around us, and we're living here. Do you not think that if we don't pay attention and if we don't repent, that this love will not grow cold in us? It says here, the love of many will grow cold, not just a few, but in many. May the Lord be merciful to us, that the love towards the Lord would not grow cold. On the contrary, it should increase and grow. If we continue to read in 1 Corinthians 13, we see the apostle's description of the love that we have received. And in Romans 5, we know that he has poured out, the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So praise the Lord, even if we're living in a world that is full of lawlessness and ungodliness, those who have been born again, he has poured out his love into our hearts through the Spirit who lives in us. This is wonderful. But what kind of love is this? What kind of love has he poured out into our hearts? If we continue to read in 1 Corinthians 13:4, we see a wonderful description. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. There's no more to say to this because the word speaks for itself. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. It is really, the opposite of what the world is like. It's not provoked, does not let itself become bitter, it says in the German translation. Is there bitterness in our hearts? Then let us turn to this love and enjoy this love. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity. Do we know such a love that does not rejoice in iniquity? We may think that the love of God is a nice feeling and has something to do with our emotions. Yes, that's part of it. But here it says, it does not rejoice in iniquity. If we look at the world around us and everything that is happening in our country or in the U.S. or across the entire globe, we see how ungodliness and lawlessness is spreading. Is there a reaction in our heart? Or do we think, oh, that has nothing to do with love. I want to love, love, love. But there's no reaction within us regarding the lawlessness in the world today. Love does not rejoice in lawlessness or in iniquity. The love that he has poured out into our hearts has a reaction towards the iniquity in the world around us. Not through an outward action and protest. But there should be an inward reaction in us to say that we would not rejoice in it, but we would also hate it. Remember what Hebrews 1 says. He loves righteousness. But is that it? He loves righteousness. What about lawlessness or unrighteousness? What does it say in the second part? He hates lawlessness. He hates wickedness.
Was mich diese Tage gewundert hat, als ich über dieses Sendschreiben oder über die Liebe
nachgedacht habe, considered the love of God. It's not just this love. Yeah, this love can actually also hate things. We don't hate man, but we can hate lawlessness. This lawlessness that we see around us, is there a reaction within us? Or do we say, it doesn't matter, I'll just ignore it? In Proverbs 6, there's an entire list of things that the Lord hates. I don't want to go into the individual aspects of this, but it gives us an impression of this love he has given us. Starting from verse 16 in Proverbs 6, these six things the Lord hates. What? You think the Lord hates? You might think, we're now talking about love and you're talking about hatred now? But the Lord also hates things. Of course, what are these things? A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Do we not see this in the world around us? A heart that devises wicked plans? I have seen this in the last months around us. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. Don't we have so many false witnesses around us who speak lies? And one who sows discord among brethren. These things the Lord hates. It's his love that hates these things. And this shows us that the love that has been poured out into our hearts always goes together with his light. Love and light coexist. They belong together. You can't separate the two. And that's why in the epistle to Ephesus, there's not only the word concerning the first love, there's also the word concerning the lampstand. So if the first love is gone, then the shining is also gone. Then the light is also gone. And if the light is gone, then the Lord has to get rid of the whole lampstand. Life and light, love and light belong together, as we see in 1 John. In 1 John, at the very beginning, the Lord says, we have touched and handled the word of life. And then he says that the message that I want to give to you is that God is light. And that God is love. This is wonderful. So in 1 John, we also see this wonderful combination of love and life and light, just like it is here in the epistle to the church in Ephesus. Amen. Lord, shine into us. And in Revelation, if we go back to chapter 2, verse 4, it says, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. This is not a good thing if God has to say to you, I have this against you. But praise the Lord that the Lord is still speaking this today, and that we have the chance and the opportunity to repent. I have this against you. Not that you have lost your love, your first love. We can all lose things. We haven't just lost this first love, like you can lose your keys or lose your phone. But here it says you have left your first love. This was a conscious action. It's consciously letting other things into your heart that took away place for the first love. Oh Lord, here the Lord says very clearly in Matthew 22, for example, in verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with what? With half of your heart? Are you half-hearted for the Lord? And the other half is reserved for work, for career, for family, for studies, our future. It says here, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, this is the first and great commandment. It's even a commandment, and not just any commandment, but the greatest and the first. That's why if we fail in this aspect, then we have failed in every other aspect, because it is the greatest commandment. Matthew 10, 37. He who loves father or mother more than me. Here, there's a ranking. There's an order. You can love things more than other things. He who loves father or mother more than me, it's not just okay, it would be better if it would be the other way around. It says here, is not worthy of me. This is a very strong word. He is not worthy of me. He will say, sorry, it's worth nothing to me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Oh Lord, this word is cuts. We all love our kids and our parents and those around us. And this is also right, of course. But the Lord says, if you love them more than me, then you can do everything else. And you can forget everything else that you have done for the Lord. Even if it was good works, if it was patience, and if you bore a lot of things and you exposed apostles and liars, you can get rid of all of that, because it will profit us nothing and we will not be worthy of him. In the constitution of the kingdom, the Lord also says something very strong. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's very easy. If our treasure is earthly, then our heart is also earthly. If my heart is there to hold on to earthly things, then the end, my heart will be there as well. I can't separate the two. I can't say I have my treasure here and there, but my heart is by the Lord. That won't work. Won't happen. If your treasure is here in your house, in your job, or somewhere else, or even in your family, then your heart will also be there. And then in the eyes of the Lord, you are already fallen.
Oh,
Lord. Mark 4:19. The Lord is speaking about the ones who have heard his word, but the word fell among the thorns. And in verse 19, it says, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word. And it becomes unfruitful. It wasn't unfruitful, but it becomes unfruitful. That means the first love was there at a certain point in time, but then things came in slowly. It says here, things enter in, like the cares of this world. Have they entered into your heart? The desire for other things? If they come in, then they will take away the place for the first love towards the Lord. And the result would be that it'll choke everything and it becomes unfruitful. Lord, save us. Yeah, and then going back to Revelation, to the epistle, it says in verse 5 of chapter 2, remember therefore from where you have fallen. It's a fall. At the university, we would say where you failed, where you have fallen. The Lord says, remember this. That it doesn't mean that they have forgotten from where they have fallen. The Lord, it's not about their having forgotten this, but the problem is the church in Ephesus, they had no more sense that they left the first love. Others translate this sentence as call to remembrance or think about this. Think about from where you have fallen. This shows that this sense of life had decreased. The first love also has to do with a sense of life. If someone is dead, they have no sense. But if someone is alive, they have senses. But the church in Ephesus had no more sense for this, that they had left their first love. That's why the Lord said to them that as a reward they would receive the tree of life, because here the life had already decreased. The life had become less, has decreased, and at the end they didn't even realize that they had left their first love. Oh Lord. That's why the Lord calls the overcomers to come to the tree of life, that the life would again increase and grow. Surely they read the word, but in reading of the word, they were no longer for life. They hadn't really truly eaten him to get life from him. And it's astonishing to see that in this church, they could really discern everything. They could even realize when the apostles were not speaking the truth. They realized it. They knew who were the evil ones, who were the liars, but they did not notice that they had left the first love. They had left everything, but this they did not notice. It's easy to discern outward things, but the inward things one does not realize so quickly. Oh, Lord, we don't want to be those who are in the church and we look at the works and to see if we can discern good from evil, and that I have my opinion about this and I have lots to say, but I don't look at the inward condition. And so we see in this epistle how important it is for us to overcome. That we don't put our works in the foreground, but that the love would really grow in us. Because if this element is missing, then everything we do would be worth nothing. It would be in vain. We do many things. We have lots of works. We have an internet site. We have a YouTube channel. We have presentations. We have literature. We preach the gospel. We do a lot. But the Lord spoke to me in this matter. In all these, you have to go back to the first love. That doesn't mean that we have no more works at all. Here it says very clearly, repent and do the first works. So you can't say, oh, wonderful, I don't have to do anything anymore now. I'm free and I just have to sit here and love the Lord. That's it. No. Here it also says that there are first works. But the first works should be those that come out of our first and best love for the Lord. And all the works that we do here, I have told the Lord this very often, I don't want to just do them because they're good works, but first and foremost, I want to have the first and best love for the Lord, and out of this, do the works, and do the best works. Everything else is not worth anything. Because then at the end, the Lord will say, like in Matthew, we would say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done this and that in your name? Haven't we had a nice website in your name? Didn't we do lots of videos in your name? Didn't we do this or that? And he will say to us, what? I never knew you. Do you want to hear such a judgment or such a conclusion from the Lord? I told the Lord, I don't want to hear this statement from you. Then the Lord will say to me, then repent and do the first works. That what we do would really come out of our best love for the Lord. Everything else is worthless for the Lord.
Amen, Herr Jesus. Wer überwindet?
He who overcomes, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
Amen.
Amen. Let us return to the tree of life. Yeah, we will continue with this word in the following meeting. Amen. Praise the Lord.